basically have quorum then, is that right, Glenn?
Yes, we do.
Did a couple of other people just join then?
That is not my typewriter.
Sounds like a Star Wars movie.
A padline.
Yeah, so still got a bit of echo on the line, so if someone's got a speakerphone running, if they could perhaps mute the mic.
Glenn, did you receive a proxy from Tom Keller for me?
No, I didn't. Did he give you one?
He did. I'm just trying to find it here.
Yeah, I did see that too. I would assume he would have copied Glenn on that.
Sarita Bhatt, SCIA. Suzanne Sen, NCIA.
Thanks, Susan. A big echo on the line. That's right.
A big echo, and it sounds like somebody's having a great party then.
One can mute the telephones by pressing 6.
Okay, let's see if that sounds any better. Sounds like a bit less echo. Okay, we'll get started. The agenda for the meeting consists of approval of the agenda, minutes of the last meeting, an update on who is task forces, an update on the policy development process for GTLD registry changes, reassignment.
You are now muted.
GTLDs. Is there any changes to the agenda anyone would like to make? Okay.
Bruce, yep. It's Marilyn. Can we have just a few minutes at some point to discuss again the importance of developing a focus on staff support for the work of the GTLD, including the task forces?
Okay, we probably have a chance to talk about that with .NET, I think, in the agenda, and we also have Kurt and Paul Verhoef online as well. So.
Good.
I'll add that there in that area. Okay. Okay, the second item is the approval of the minutes of the last meeting. Those minutes have been available for a while, have they, Glenn?
Yes, they have, Bruce. They've been available since the 23rd of March.
Hi, Grant. Are there any, the minutes of the last meeting are of the 3rd of March, which was actually the meeting in Rome, and those minutes, there is a full transcript actually of that meeting, and the minutes...
I'd like to move that we approve the transcript and the minutes as forwarded to the council.
Okay, I think you can. Any seconder for that?
Philip II.
Okay. Is that Philip Shipp?
Yes. Philip
S. That's right. Okay. All those in favour, say aye.
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 Any against? Any abstentions?
I abstained because I was not present at that meeting, as Amadeu.
Okay, thank you, Amadeu.
I will abstain as Lucy.
Okay, Lucy. Any other abstentions? Okay, I'll note those minutes as passed. third item is update on who is task forces. And I gather that generally the... I'm not sure who we've got online. Have we got...
Brian Darby doesn't seem to be online.
Jordan or Brian online?
Jordan's online.
Jordan, would you like to give an update on where your task force is up to, please, Jordan?
Yeah, sure, I'd be glad to. I think we are somewhat similarly situated to the other task forces based on the progress reports I've seen, but as council members will note, we had actually requested a 10-day extension to the unified timeline previously, and so we're actually currently operating on a schedule slightly behind, only 10 days, each of the other task forces, but as you'll note from Jeff Newman's note on Task Force 1's progress, it looks like due to lack of responsiveness, they're likely to probably start looking more like us. But even given our 10-day delay, we're still some major milestones are being missed that will probably start causing us problems. For example, our due date for constituency statements was this past Monday. The only statements that we've received to date has been one from the ALAC. I don't, unless something's changed over the last couple of minutes while I've been on this call, we haven't received any statements from any of the actual GNSO constituencies. So that will begin to complicate the policy development process. In theory, we are supposed to deliver an initial report on April 19th with our 10-day delay built into that. If we have all the constituency statements in place by next week, by Monday, then it's theoretically possible we may reach that date. If we don't, that's when our next call is scheduled, then almost certainly we're also going to be additionally delayed. We had a very limited amount of input during the data collection process, but we actually have done a fairly substantial amount of additional data collection and data analysis from other sources, and we should be publishing the results of that data collection and analysis probably next week. Unfortunately, just due to the condensed time frames that we've all been working under, and the fact that the PDP as structure doesn't really contemplate any substantial data gathering or analysis, that whole portion of our work happened somewhat prior, but also during the period in which constituencies were supposed to be putting their statements together. So most constituency statements probably will not benefit from being able to examine all of the data that we gathered. But having said that, almost certainly, given the limited amount of data we received from our various questionnaires and surveys, I would expect there will be significantly more data input during the public comment phase after the interim report is issued. And likely, I would suspect that the differences between the interim report and the final report of the task force are likely to be more substantial than was the case when we used a similar process with the lead task force, where we saw only relatively minor changes due to a relatively low number of public comments. I think we'll actually see most of the data that we were hoping for in this phase actually show up perhaps during the public comment phase, which will complicate our task. But so we're running very close to the edge of our schedule right now, maybe additionally delayed, but it's theoretically possible we'll be able to stick to it, assuming that suddenly we get a raft of constituency statements over the next few days.
So the preliminary timetable had a name, I think just reading Jeff Newman's comments, was the 9th of April, is that right?
Right, yeah, that was the date that originally the task force chairs and the council had agreed would be a good one in order to receive the preliminary reports from all three task forces.
Yeah.
On our last call, I had requested that we were running about 10 days behind that due to some problems we had with our data gathering efforts with the GAC. So we are already 10 days behind the date that 1 and 3 are running on. But likely, you know, like I said, unless we start to receive some constituency statements, a lot of constituency statements very quickly, we're going to, that date will slip.
Yeah, I think that's right. And bear in mind that we're now on the 2nd of April, and in many countries there are holidays on the Friday the 9th and Monday the 12th. So you kind of lose four, at least two working days there. It's sounding to me more likely that we're talking about the 4th, the 3rd of May or something before we're likely to see preliminary reports.
Yeah, I would say at this point that wouldn't be surprising. It may still be theoretically possible to salvage a report to the final report to the council sometime in June under those circumstances, although it's going to be very difficult to have something for the council to review in June and then the court to review in July at 12.
Yeah, and I think you're right in that people are kind of looking for a set of recommendations on the table as possible changes, and then that's when they'll really sort of get up there and react. Whereas at the moment, we're really just seeing that there's the same sort of advocacy positions that we have for quite a while being made. Okay. So Jeff's report on Task Force 1 had been sent to the list. He reports there's only been 7 or 8 responses to the questionnaire. He's only received constituency statements from the non-commercial and intellectual property constituency and also a statement from the ALAP committee. And so that means registries, registrars, business and ISP constituencies have not yet submitted a statement. He's reporting that it's going to be difficult to make the preliminary report date of April 9. And he says that we're making progress. We do have preliminary recommendations. So we're working towards coming up with positions absent some of that in material. But drafting will take some time. Is it possible to move the due date for the preliminary report out a few weeks? So I think really that we're realistically, at least for the Task Force 1 and from Jordan Task Force as well, looking at about perhaps the first week of May before we'd expect to see a preliminary report. Do we have anyone from the third task force? Should be Brian or Brian's not on the call. Perhaps Ross Rader. I think you're on that task force, is it?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here. Yes. We're suffering from lack of data. Is the only way I can characterize it. We've been slightly better at acquiring constituency submissions. I believe we received 3 or possibly 4 at this point. There is some of those are going back to the constituency for further refinement. But as far as we're trying to stick to our original deadlines as best we can. We hope to have a draft of the interim report out by for internal discussion within the task force by tomorrow evening, which may or may not let us have one published by April the 9th. But other than that, not much has changed since the meeting.
Okay, thanks, Ross. Are there any comments or questions from members of council on the WHOIS reports? Is Barbara Roseman on the line?
Yes, I'm on the call.
Thanks, Barbara. Are you able to give a perspective from a staff management point of view on the progress of those task force when you think would be ready?
I think that an additional 2 weeks would be extraordinarily helpful, particularly in allowing the constituencies to submit their statements. I also think that there's still a good deal of discussion that needs to take place within each of the task forces about what kinds of policy recommendations they're interested in making and how they want to frame them. That work has not been significantly advanced yet. There's been some preliminary discussion, and there are some sort of large areas of concern that are coming out in each of the task forces, but I think that the main work of figuring out what kinds of policies they are able to recommend at this point still has to take place, and they're waiting on the constituency statements to sort of help formulate
to help drive that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure that. I mean, I think if we set a deadline of April 30th, that would be extremely helpful. But again, I mean, I think the thing is that these constituency statements have to get in as timely a manner as possible, so that there's adequate time for people, for the task forces to do their discussion portion, and then of course the writing.
Yes. Okay. So does anyone like to make a proposal for when a revised date for the preliminary reports? So I'm thinking probably sort of first week of May, like the 3rd of May, or we might even need to push that further.
Bruce, it's Marilyn. Can we just walk through with the revision? I think we are all... We need to keep in mind that the PDP was devised but not field tested before we started using it, so we're learning some things about it as we are using it for the first time. Can we just walk through what the public, because I think the sufficient time for the public comment period is really essential, and so by changing the date, what will we be doing to the time frame, the amount of time for the public comment period?
I don't think we would change the public comment period because it's actually set in the bylaws.
Right.
So I
think
there's a 20-day public comment period or something to that effect. So whenever the preliminary report is out, then...
Bruce?
Yes.
Yeah, Ken. I'm sorry, Marilyn. I didn't mean to come on top of you. Are you?
No. That's okay. I just wanted to be clarify that we were all there. Thanks.
I agree with Marilyn's concerns over ensuring that there's adequate time for public comment. Given that there will be, my suggestion would be that we go with the deadline of, let's say, either May 9th, 8th or 9th, principally because I'm afraid if we get right up against the wall and have to take another week, it's going to be it's going to start to get kind of iffy. So I think we're better off with a timeline of, let's say, somewhere around the end of the first full week in May, and we need to really start pushing hard, let's say around the 25th of April, to ensure that we make that timeline rather than waiting until two or three days prior to that. Glenn, when are the Names Council meetings scheduled in April at this point in time now?
There's another meeting in May. I'll give you the date.
On the line, Glenn?
There are no more council meetings in April. In May, there's on the 6th of May and the 10th of June. Those are the council meetings.
There's a council meeting scheduled for the 6th of May.
And the 10th of June.
And it would seem to me that by the 6th of May, maybe that's the final deadline that we should have. And 2 weeks prior to that, I'm assuming we'll probably have a Names Council meeting as well. And at that point in time, we really should have everything pretty well fine-tuned to the point where we would have a clear delineation on meeting that timeline.
Yeah, so it's a clear point that we can track progress.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's almost like task management. We need to make sure that we have a date that allows us to ensure that if we need a little additional push for the final 2 weeks, that we have it there.
Okay. All right. So that's suggesting that we make it the 6th of May just to synchronize it with the council meeting. And then at least at that point we can get an update on the task forces as where they're up to regarding that. I think probably the key thing is that even if some of the constituency statements have not come through at that stage, it's probably important to for the task forces to work as a group towards producing a preliminary report, because that in itself, I think, as Jordan mentioned, will start driving more comments and more constituency contribution during the public comment period.
Bruce, this is Barbara. May I say something?
Yeah, sure.
I would actually recommend that we set a deadline for when we will. I'm trying to think of the most politic way to say this, but a point at which we're going to proceed with writing, regardless of whether we have the constituency statements in hand, and that the statement that will be made about that constituency is that they chose not to submit a statement. I think that you have to make that cutoff early enough so that writing and discussion can take place, and that, you know, the constituencies had a deadline, they've missed the deadline, that's fine, we're willing to extend the deadline, but we can't extend the constituency statement deadline to May 6th, because that means that...
No, that's right. That's what I'm talking about, the date for the preliminary report, yeah. So you're wanting to put in an additional date for when the constituency statements are due, because they currently were due on the 19th of March, and we're now at the 2nd of April. So... we could make it maybe the 16th of April or something like that to extend the deadline for the constituency statements.
I think that would be helpful in terms of actually getting progress on the discussion and writing phase, so that we're not held up by constituencies that are unable to submit a statement.
Yes.
This is Jordan. Can I add a comment about that?
Yeah, go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I think that would be enormously helpful to the chairs as well, because that way, you know, if we had instructions from the council to proceed in that regard, it wouldn't look as if we were, you know, intentionally ignoring certain constituencies or playing politics with what statements had been received and whatnot.
Okay.
Bruce, this is Mark Schneiders. Can I say something too?
Yes, go ahead, Mark.
I think I just heard about 15 minutes ago that my constituency, the non-commercial, and the IP constituency were the only one who sent in their comments in time. Of course, we love to meet the deadlines, but if it becomes a practice that other constituencies simply ignore the deadlines, yeah, we as a constituency completely consisting of volunteers, yeah, we will also lose the push to be in time. So I think we should not, as council, prolong the time that constituencies get to post their comments indefinitely and time and again. I am now on the council for half a year or so, and I noticed that this happens more often. And we, consisting of volunteers, try very hard to meet these deadlines, and we notice then that others don't. Maybe they don't have an interest in who is. That is their right, of course, not to comment. But I don't see why we should again and again prolong the period for comment.
I think that's fair. I will make one comment that the fact of a physical ICANN meeting itself probably delays rather than improves things at the moment, because rather than working work on their speeches. So, and then it takes a couple of weeks after an ICANN physical meeting where everyone's catching up on their day jobs before they're ready to contribute again. Certainly if you look at the registrar's list, there was virtually no traffic in the week or two following the ICANN meeting, and only now there's quite a bit of discussion going on the registrar's mailing list on the whois. So there definitely is interest. I think it's just a matter of other events, and there's been a United Nations event in last week, I believe, so there has been some delays. But I take your point. I think it is unreasonable that constituencies are not taking an active effort to try and meet the deadlines, and that then, of course, pushes the whole process out.
Bruce, it's Marilyn. Can I make a comment, please?
Yeah, sure.
I will speak only for my own constituency. We are making an active effort to develop our input. We have a draft, and we're working on trying to get to closure on it. So we are making an active effort, and I don't think we should characterize the fact that people are extremely busy. We are all volunteers. We are doing our best at policy development as being a lack of interest. And I'd like that noted in the record, please.
Yes, we certainly note that. And I would also agree with your comment that we are all volunteers, because this is certainly not my day job.
Yeah, Mark Schneitz again, then, Bruce, if I may.
Yeah, sure, mate.
I think there's a big difference between people who work for, say, a registrar like yourself, not to say that you are not doing your job properly, but people who do this certainly in addition and as part of their daytime job, and people who actually make no money from the mains. And we, as a non-commercial constituency, we deliver in time. And yes, other constituencies who make their living out of domain names. I'm not talking about the business constituency, but I'm talking about, say, the registrar's registries constituency. They do not deliver in time. So that, then my only conclusion can be they are not interested.
Bruce, but I might just make a proposal here.
Sure.
I think perhaps to move this along, I will just make a comment for the business constituency about our objective of getting our statement by next Monday. And perhaps we could just go back to planning on how best to move this ball forward in a collegial fashion. And I'll go back to work on trying to meet that commitment for my constituency.
So what was the date that you were committing to there, Val?
I was proposing next Monday.
Next Monday.
Yeah. Which was which I know is late, but
which is the 6th.
Yeah.
I think that Bruce, if I may, this is Barbara again. I've heard from some constituencies that their requirements for approving a statement will take longer than that amount of time.
Okay.
But I would encourage everybody, if they are at the stage where they're, if their constituency is at the stage where they're simply going through their voting process, they've already got their draft, if they could submit their draft to us, to the different task forces, that would be immensely helpful. And if they alter that draft in the final vote, then they can inform us of that and ask us to use the latest version. But if they're at the stage where they've got a draft that they're putting out to their constituency for a final vote, then, you know, submitting that would even be a step forward.
Yeah, I think that's good advice, and I think that's what we've done in the registrars in the past.
Yeah.
With the approval process, I think we basically never did get round to voting on it, but we did actually submit the draft so that it was available. Okay, well, I'm tempted to sort of suggest I'm taking on board what Mark has said, and I think that's a general comment that we do need to, as council members, work with our constituencies and try and make sure that the constituencies themselves are responding in a timely manner to the constituency statement requirements. But I think providing we're at the 2nd of April, I think providing the 16th of April deadline for the constituency statements, after which the task forces will proceed regardless, and they should be proceeding at this point anyway, and say the 6th of May for the...
No, April.
So, yeah, 16th of April for the final constituency statement deadline, and 6th of May for the preliminary report deadline in time for our council meeting. So I'd like to just sort of propose those dates as a compromise, but taking on board what Mark has said, that, you know, in the future we need to improve the timeliness. Do I have a seconder for those dates?
I second that, Bruce. This is Mark Schneider.
Thanks, Mark. For those in favour, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any against?
Repeat those dates one more time.
16th of April for constituency statements and 6th of May for the preliminary report.
Okay, thank you.
Are you voting in favour?
Yeah.
Okay. Any against? Any
abstentions?
Yeah. No. Sorry. okay, well, note that motion has passed. The next item of the agenda is dealing with the update on the policy development process for the approval process for GTED registry changes. That group met on earlier this week. There's been some minor changes made to those diagrams. I will attempt to get those changes out on at least on the mailing list in the next day or so. And I'm also trying to schedule a call with the General Counsel to answer two main questions. I guess the first question is around the selection criteria that we developed in the meeting in Rome, input on which of those suggested criteria are within or out of the scope of the ICANN mission, and also to suggest some potential wording that encapsulates those criteria that could be used as a legal basis of selection criteria. That's the first one. And the second one is getting some clarity on whether the board is expected to require to approve any changes in contracts, and if so, we need to align the public comment periods in that approval process with the public comment periods that would be required for a board making a decision, and making sure we don't double up on public comment periods. And thirdly, just getting some clarity over the reconsideration and review mechanisms in the ICANN bylaws. So that's where that task force is. I have been informed that John Jeffrey, the General Counsel, will be tied up at least for the remainder of this week and most likely next week. So we'd be looking at a call being scheduled most likely in the week beginning the 12th of April for a call with General Counsel. Are there any questions or comments on that process?
Bruce Shepherd here. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make that meeting. Do I take it that the general spirit of the meeting was one of consensus and agreement with the great progress you've been making? And in particular, have we got enthusiastic buy-in by the constituency most affected by this, namely the greatest constituency?
I'll let Ken comment on that. I don't think anyone, I'm not sure that I'd characterise as enthusiastic, but I would say that I think we're getting to agree a framework, but we then need to do more detail on what the, I guess, individual boxes within that framework actually mean. And I think we need certainly staff support in doing that, because ultimately they will have to administer the process, and we need to make sure that the suggestions and wording that we're proposing are actually practical from a legal point of view, because no doubt there will be legal issues on any approval that's given or not given.
Absolutely. And Ken, does that accord with your views?
Yes, but I'm only one of three members of the constituency who were on the call. I think there was concern about the timeline that were implied in the diagram, specifically the duplicity and comment times, and also concerns about how to manage the process to ensure that it was consistent with any legal framework that we have to deal with as well. I would give you as an example, there was some concern about how you deal with the quick loop process after, for instance, the staff has determined that the preliminary request by the registry was, in fact, either did not require a detailed review or may very well have even been out of scope. So we need to make sure that we don't create a process that's so cumbersome that we don't motivate the parties to a free and open exchange of information. Also, I still think there are serious concerns about dealing with confidentiality. Those weren't just expressed by the registries, but in effect, there was some ratification of that concern expressed by other constituencies in the meeting who have had to live with that in a more practical day-to-day operational environment.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think the framework as we've got it drafted actually conflicts with any of those confidentiality requirements. I think the confidentiality requirements just need to be explicitly stated in the, I guess, the more detailed wording that goes along with the flowchart. Okay, any other questions or comments on that?
Hey, Bruce, this is Kurt.
Yeah, Kurt.
I think John will probably make it the week before that, but if you could send him the questions that the questions you have, you just read it. Can you supply those to John in written form?
Yeah, I believe, Barbara, you were going to draft, put those into a draft form, is that right?
Yes,
Barbara Rosen?
That's correct. You and I had discussed how we would proceed from here, and I'm going to prepare a draft of questions that arose out of the last meeting of the task force and forward those to John and CC Bruce to make sure that they've really covered the range. And the idea is to see if we can get answers to those questions ahead of time, that's great. And if there are areas of continued concern that people want to focus on, then John can determine what areas he's able to talk freely about right now and what areas fall under litigation concerns.
Yeah, that's fine, and that's a really good idea, but we, in order to try to bring it to a close, we should try to cover the field with the questions that exist to the extent we can. You understand what I mean?
Yes.
So I think, if you could have a go at completing that by the end of this week, perhaps by tomorrow, Barbara, if that's possible, so that we can get those to John.
I believe that's doable.
John, I am that he'd make himself available sometime next week.
Bruce, it's Philip Culbertson, Registry Constituency.
Yes,
hello. Just wondering if there will be possible time to address further questions that may arise from those that we initially posed to John Jeffries.
Yes, but certainly if you have additional questions, at least post them to the mailing list, which I think is reg_com@gnso, or even the council list if you haven't got that other mailing list, and we can certainly forward those through to John. With the questions that Barbara frames, we will copy those questions to the list anyway, and so if people have got clarifications, they can certainly make those to that question list, and then we will seek to then schedule a call for John to address those questions.
Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay, the next item on the agenda is the reassignment of .net. The council has received a letter from Paul Verhoef on a formal request for the council to consider the .net reassignment. Would either Paul or Kurt like to perhaps summarise that letter for the council?
Yes, Bruce, Paul here. Although I have signed it, you will realize that some of the colleagues who have had experience in Marina Del Rey with previous occasion of a similar kind, namely the .org succession, have have got some more experience, so I understand Dan Halloran is on the call as well, so maybe he can chip in with Kurt to explain some of the background as to what this all means.
Hi. Can I talk, Bruce?
Yes, go ahead.
We have a weekly meeting here to discuss the .NET succession plan, and our goal is, of course, to publish the process by which the operator, the registry operator, will be selected. We want to publish that procedure on June 30th. To give the GNSO some time to do what we've requested and to do what it sees fit, we recognize that that might not be done by June 30th. So our published process is going to include the GNSO effort. And I'm saying this as a preamble just so that everybody understands the time frames involved and what our expectations are. So there's a GNSO effort that has to be accomplished in a fairly quick manner, but it does not have to be accomplished before the June 30th deadline, we don't think. We think we still clearly meet the definitions laid out in the .NET contract. So given that, we have a weekly meeting to develop that process, and so we've given careful reading to the sections of the contract that govern the – God, I hate this echo because you hate the sound of your own voice, you know. we've given careful reading to the paragraphs in the contract, and we think it's the scope fairly well defined in the paragraphs that are referred to in the letter, and that is that the GNSO is tasked with developing criteria that will be used by the evaluators who are the independent evaluators who are making decisions on who the operator of the registry should be. So I think we should rely upon the statements in that, and I've invited Dan Halloran to join us too, because as so many of you had, he went through the .org process, and so I think the GNSO might be able to take some of what was developed for .org and adopt that, so that we can move through the process accurately, consistently, and quickly.
Okay, thanks, Kurt. Yeah, my view is that we could use the .org statement made by the Names Council, I guess probably almost a couple of years ago now. In fact, we adopted, now that I'm reading the letter, on the 17th of January of 2002, so it's actually more than 2 years ago, the Names Council at that time adopted a report on .org. I think that's a useful starting point. Some of the .org report, I think, was very much oriented towards the fact that .org was seen as a space for sort of non-profit organisations or non-commercial organisations, so there was a fair bit of input in that area. And .NET has a slightly different focus. But I think many of the underlying comments would be common. The option that we have, I guess, is how do we want to handle it within the council. The options, as I see it, is that the council could again deal with it as a committee of the whole. The council could form a subcommittee of the council to look at that report and come back with recommendations to the whole council. Or we could actually initiate the full policy development process and form task forces and go through that exercise. Certainly our experience with the Who Is Task Force is if we started that process today, it would probably be a month later before we actually managed to form the task forces by the time that we got notified of all the representatives to that. So I guess I'll throw it open to council members to perhaps comment on what they think the right process we should use to develop the criteria.
Bruce, is Grant here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Philip, speak as well.
Okay, I've got Grant, I've got Philip. Anyone else want to
speak? Mark Schneider also wants to say something.
Marilyn would like to say something.
Ari, please.
Ari, please.
Okay, go ahead, Grant.
Firstly, I have a question for the last echoey speaker, and that is, I don't quite understand, given that a date is going to be set by which ICANN is going to publish a, quote, transparent procedure by the 3rd of June, there was the suggestion made that even if the GNSO came in with a suggested procedure or contribution to that, that that contribution could come in after the 30th of June. Can someone explain to me how the GNSO's contribution will be considered or will be the action given a publication of a transparent procedure by the 30th of June?
Do you want to handle that question, Kurt?
Yeah. clearly, the GNSO process could be part of a transparent procedure. So depending on your reading of it, but clearly it could be the GNSO process could be included in the transparent procedure for determining how the registry operator is awarded that task.
And this is Dan. Hi, Grant. Hi, Bruce. In other words, the procedure could say something like, on date X, we're going to publish the draft proposal that will include the whatever criteria we get that's recommended by the GNSO Council. In other words, we don't have to have all the criteria by June 30th. We just need to publish the roadmap to the procedure going forward. It might have pieces that will be plugged into it later.
So if I'm understand correctly, Dan, the actual tender date could be somewhat late. I mean, perhaps you could give me an idea of when would you go out to tender on the on .NET? What date would you be publishing that?
I don't know. Calling for application. It doesn't have to be June 30th. That's correct.
Yeah, but what's your expectation? Are you talking about, you know, July 1, or are you talking about December 1, or what roughly?
We looked at .org last time, and I think we need at least 9 months from the time the final procedure is set, including GNSO input, in order for the process to have sufficient time to work its way through. I think it was sort of three months of solicitation, 3 months of evaluation, and 3 months of negotiation and award, and there's a transition period, too.
For .org, Bruce, this is Dan again. We posted the finalized RFP materials for the .org reassignment.
Yep.
On 20 May 2002, and that changeover happened on January 1, 2003. So that was just over 6 months before the changeover, we posted the final RFP. And that was a little tight, so we want to give ourselves a little more room here if possible.
And so what's the deadline when it needs to be? Is it, 30th of June 2005 when it would need to be reassigned? Is that
right? So in other words, if we matched the scale that we did on .org, that would mean posting finalized RFP materials in December of this year.
Yeah, but you want to get it earlier than that.
Yeah,
because I think the message I'm taking from it is that we should really try to, as close as possible to the 30th of June, complete the GNSO work so that you've got your criteria available to incorporate into a formal RFP. And I guess what you're trying to do is launch the RFP somewhere, you know, might be around the August, September sort of time frame to give you an additional period compared to your .org process. Is that roughly right?
Yes, that's correct, thanks.
Okay, does that answer your question, Grant?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, next we have Philip Shepherd in the queue.
Yes, thanks. Bruce, am I right in saying that there was a call to council a few weeks ago for constituencies to nominate a representative to a putative task force on .NET? Certainly on behalf of the BC, I was so nominated. And perhaps it'd be interesting to hear from Glenn if she knows the constituency who have and who have not nominated for that. You may be more advanced than we think we are.
Well, I think, Philip, just to clarify, I made the suggestion that that's what we do on the council list, but yeah, the council needs to kind of endorse that as the way forward. So I guess that's what they're looking for at this stage. But yeah, I think I made the suggestion that each constituency on the council recommend a council member, and we deal with it as a subcommittee of council, as opposed to going out and you know, forming a separate task force. But that was my recommendation to council.
Okay, clearly one we're buying into that.
Yeah. Mark Schneider?
Yeah, I would like to say that I've looked at the text included in today's agenda about the .NET reassignment, and my conclusion was that even if we talk for ages, another registry operator will not enhance customer choice. So what remains is, apart from monopoly issues, is price. And if this aspect will not be discussed in a task force or a subcommittee or whatever, it will be sort of hard to decide which applicant can be chosen. And that is what the whole exercise is about, because if I read the text right, and I'm not a native speaker of English and certainly not a lawyer, Verisign can challenge any reassignment if they can sort of offer the same services or the same price. So this sort of limits our choice as far as I understand the situation. So I have no clear-cut solution how we as a council could deal with this, but I think we should keep this in mind, that this is what we are talking about. Can we devise a process which could perhaps lead the board of ICANN to decide for another registry that offers lower prices? Any other considerations, like with .org in the task force for the dissolution of that I participated, are now out of bounds. We are not talking about a particular goal for this TLD. We are talking about a registry that could do it better than Verisign. So I think that for council it would be wise to assign a very small group of people to look at this in detail, and not talk about this in some sort of task force where you get all sorts of positions that have to be defended, and I don't know what, and that will, in the short time frame that we have, lead to nothing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mark. But let me just clarify one point just on the tender process when you mentioned the issue of price. If I was tendering, let's say, to provide a telephone link to our company, price would be a consideration, but I'd also be looking at reliability and stability of the connection. So I wouldn't purely base it on price. I'd actually base it on a number of criteria.
Yeah, Bruce, if I may interrupt you, Verisign will always say that it also offers a very good connection, etc. Right?
Yeah.
Bruce, will you put me in the queue, please?
Bruce,
I will add you to the queue.
On what's in Europe is called a motion d'ordre.
Sorry, what was that?
Christopher, it's 11 o'clock in Brussels, and the GAC secretariat springs back to life at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Do any members of the council have any comments or questions directly related to the governmental advisory committee?
Bruce, it's Grant here. I do.
Yeah, go ahead, Grant.
Christopher, this discussion with regards to the successor registry operator for .NET, my presumption is that given it does address or could be used to address matters of competition, not to mention matters of diversity, both geographic and cultural, my expectation is that there will be some interest and possibly some input from the GAC. Could you just confirm that that's the case?
Well, the issue has already been submitted to the Jack Working Group on GNSO, and which includes GTLD issues. I can't say at this point, because it came up only a few days ago, I can't say at this point what the GAC members will want to say about it. But from a theoretical point of view, there is a question of competition. I think that's true. Did Susan Fenn join the call?
I believe she did, yes.
It's now a good time.
Yes, go ahead, Suzanne, if you've got any. I think Grant's question is really whether the GAC would have input on the .NET process.
Well, thank you. I think that is, in fact, a very fair question. But if I could clarify something, the GAC has just recently created a merged and new DNSO working group. That is a combination of the former GTLD and who it is working group. The composition of this working group has not yet been sort of defined very clearly. So I'm very hesitant to respond very definitively to you because we haven't had the opportunity yet to address this issue. But I will commit to you that I will convey your question and that we will be in touch with you and work with you as we go along to be more responsive.
Okay, thanks, Suzanne. So, yes, I think if you could convey the question that we're interested to hear how the GAC would handle the issue of .NET and what its process might be, that would be good. Okay, so returning back to the queue, we've had Mark, we have Marilyn.
Is there any way that I can get in the queue? Please?
You are. You're after Marilyn, I believe, Carrie.
Yeah. I just wanted to support the idea that we work this issue with a subcommittee of council, recognizing that we have yet the work to conclude on who is, as well as the work to undertake on the process of developing policy for the introduction of further new GTLDs, and we also have the issue of IDNs. At some point we need to begin to develop an understanding and focus on. So I would support the idea of a subgroup of council so that this could be moved along in a timely manner. I think also that we have the option within the task forces of appointing or calling on experts to advise subgroups, and we may want to think about taking advantage of that concept, particularly as we try to ensure there's informed the ability to have informed work.
Yeah, so, I mean, for example, probably some input perhaps from Dan Halloran into that committee would be useful in framing the criteria.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're basically speaking in favour of forming a subcommittee of the council?
Yes.
Okay. Kerry Camp?
I think there are factors that may be operative in this situation that weren't quite as sensitive as they were with the .org redelegation. I think it's absolutely imperative that we miss no deadline. We do absolutely nothing that can be cited as flawed process as we proceed on this. So we need to submit our statement, by the end of June, and whatever mode of organization in the preparation of that statement that may be necessary to ensure that we meet the deadline is one I think we should adopt. Which sort of suggests that it needs to be a nimbler group rather than a larger group.
Yes, I think that's right. Okay. Ken Stubbs.
Well, I think you pretty well covered what I was going to say in your response to Mark. I think that it would be a good read for anyone who is planning on working on the subcommittee of the council, and frankly for all the members of the council, if you take a close look at exactly what the requirements are for the rebidding process. But I would like to point out that most definitely price is not the only basis for any challenge should VeriSign elect to challenge it. I think from a practical standpoint, we just need to make sure that we develop a process that people can clearly understand and deal with. I think that's, to me, the most important thing. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Okay, well, I suggest then we proceed with forming a subcommittee of council, and if each of the constituencies could nominate which of their council members will stand on that. It sounds like the business constituency has selected Philip Shepherd. Is that right, Philip?
That's correct, Bruce. And just as you ask the question, I have a question for you.
Yes.
You're using the word subcommittee and not the word task force, which is what we've traditionally had to deal with an issue. Is there a reason for that, or are we just...
Well, yeah, there is a reason. The terminology of subcommittee was implying that we'd use membership from the council to form the committee. And my reason for that, just as it's a bit faster, certainly for some of the constituencies, forming a task force is then a separate election process to just elect a new representative, and that can take a number of weeks, typically a month in certainly the registrar constituency, versus a subcommittee of the council itself means that they're already elected representatives of their constituencies, and it's really choosing which of the three representatives
Was
still on the committee. So that was what my intent was there.
That's a good solution.
Christopher again. I'm going to sign off.
Okay, thanks, Christopher. Then what I suggest then is that by... date here, but I think we would be aiming to say by the end of next week, so by the 9th of April, the council members notify Glenn of their representative on that subcommittee. I guess I'd ask that subcommittee, once it's formed, to select its chair. And I think the process basically that subcommittee would follow would be to certainly the committee members would seek input from their constituencies on suggested criteria, and I don't think that needs to be in the form of a formal constituency statement, but certainly using their mailing lists to ask the question and collecting the input, and that subcommittee aims to produce, say, a draft by the next council meeting on the 6th taking the .org criteria that already exists and perhaps modifying that slightly so that we have a draft to consider by the May the 6th and get some further input, and then hopefully by June that we can, by the June meeting hopefully, move to finalise that selection criteria. That's what I would suggest is a rough time frame.
Bruce, this is Mark Schneider.
Yes, Mark.
I'm not flattering myself that I will be the chair of this committee, but I think it's most important that the chair of this committee is appointed as soon as possible, because only a chair will get things moving. So could you please include the appointment of a chair of this committee in your scheme?
Can I speak on that point, Chris?
Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
I think that normally what we do is have the group develop their own chair, which they do very, very quickly. Would there be any reason to change that process?
Yeah, I think all Mark is probably saying is that we include in the time frame that there's a time frame when the chair is
appointed.
Yeah. So the committee, if the committee is formed by, say, the 6th of Just want to get my dates right. So looking at different calendars. So we're looking at the committee formed by the end of next week, which is the 9th of April. I guess if the chair could be selected by, by the 16th of April, in other words, between the 9th and the 16th, the committee should set a meeting, and I can get Glenn or Barbara to schedule a meeting of that committee sometime in the week, beginning the 12th of April. And at that first meeting, the chair should be elected using the usual process, as Marilyn suggests.
Bruce, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, all we need to do is actually have a meeting scheduled at a certain time, and the representatives appointed by that time participate, and we get it going. I think you're right in suggesting that Glenn is probably the ideal person to organise that for us.
Yeah, so Glenn, if you could organise a meeting in the week beginning the 12th of April. Then that will be good. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the GTLD, the more generic process of new GTLDs. Marilyn, I think you suggested this on the agenda originally. Would you like to speak to that?
Sure. I just want to note that the purpose of the GNSO is to develop and advise on policy related to generic TLDs. And I think it's very important that realizing that the board has undertaken via a resolution they've indicated the intent of moving forward on the introduction of examining the development of a process which would guide this, that it is both obvious, but perhaps it isn't obvious to all, that the responsibility for policy development and guiding that rests with this body. And so we have a need, I think, to look at the appropriate board resolutions and to look at the MOU that ICANN is guided by in terms of its some of its work, some of its tasks and timelines, and to establish a process which allows us to fulfill our responsibilities in this area and to develop the appropriate policy to advise the board. And I think there are some timelines that we're going to need to pay attention to in that front. I know we haven't had an issues paper yet from the staff on that topic, but since we have the ICANN staff on the call, perhaps this is a good time to sort of discuss how to move that process forward so we can fulfill our responsibility.
Do you want to comment on that, Paul or Kurt?
Well, Paul here. I think we should look at the timelines and what the expectations are for the production of such an issues paper, and then obviously we will do our best to develop that and get it into the process. Maybe Barbara has something to add to this on where she would be on this.
This is Barbara. I don't have anything specific to say about this, except that I think that the letter that was prepared is a that was submitted to council as the initiation of this covers the broad ground that an issues report would cover, and so it shouldn't take a significant amount of time to actually develop an issues report. But the timing of this is that the council has to request the issues report. So it couldn't have been prepared. I mean, it could have been written already, but it couldn't have been presented to council prior to the request for the issues report.
Yeah, I think what Barbara, we're talking about the issues associated with adding new GTLDs rather than the .NET.
Exactly.
Oh, I see.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think my comment on that would probably be that we have a ICANN meeting scheduled for, what is it, that third week of July, in Kuala Lumpur. That to me would be an appropriate time to have an issues report on the new GTLDs, and really what that issues report would pick up on the output of the evaluation, because I believe there's a report in production on the evaluation of the sort of seven test GTLDs. So, there'd be that input from that report. And what we're really talking about is saying, well, what is the issues associated with, you know, adding a million new TLDs or adding one new TLD? What are the issues we need to consider? And then the council needs to come to a policy position on that as to how do we move forward with adding new TLDs to the route. And I guess that may well include at that point adding IDN-based TLDs to the zone as well. Is that kind of what you're thinking, Marilyn, that
yeah,
sort of time frame or that sort of issue?
I think that probably fits with the time frame, but I think we want to be very clear that we have a mutual understanding and respect for the role of council in developing this policy. And so I think it's, you know, rather than waiting around until later, that we probably ought to as council discuss this and begin to sort of make our own, you know, coming to some understanding ourselves. You'll recall that in Rome I suggested that it would be helpful to have a sort of an educational approach for council, not undertaking a task force, but a sort of an educational approach, perhaps through briefings on IDNs, for instance.
Yes. Yeah, and I have actually had a request from members of the or that have been associated with setting up the CCNSO, whether we wish to proceed with a joint discussion on adding IDNs, and certainly they're keen to do that, I believe. So that's on the IDN issue, but I think the issue is probably one of being proactive so that we actually start getting the process and planning in place so that we can make a useful contribution by the end of the year on the top. And certainly, given the workload we've got over the next 3 months, you know, taking us through to the end of the June, I don't think there's much time for council or the constituency to realistically have much input, because we've got three WHOIS task forces, we've got the approval process, and we've got the .NET. But I would be thinking around about July, starting off the process to look at more generically what we do with new GTLDs. And you know, if an issues report was available, and I think if we use the guidelines that Philip Shepherd suggested, that we're not talking about a 100-page document, we're just talking about several pages that just highlight what the role is, what ICANN's task is with respect to its MOU, and what input council, or what issues council should be considering with regard to new GTLDs.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul.
Yeah, Paul.
I think this is a useful approach, maybe in order to make sure that from our side we satisfy the expectations of the council. Could we put in place some process by which if there are specific issues which the council would want to see addressed in that issues reports, we just are notified of that somewhere over the next 1 or 2 weeks or something. Send it to me and to Barbara, and then we will make sure that we review all those requests and see whether we can indeed deliver on that, so that once we come up with the issues report, it is something which meets the expectations.
Okay. If council members have got specific issues that they think should be considered as part of that, if they can forward those to the list and also copy Paul and Barbara. And I think if we can aim towards getting a hopefully a fairly short report available for the meeting in Kuala Lumpur to drive or start the discussion in that area. Okay, is there any other business anyone would like to raise? Okay, if there's no other business, I will close the call at this point and thank everyone for their participation.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you. Thank you, Bruce.